Mark chapter 8, verse number 10. Straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say to you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. It says, he sighed deeply in his spirit. Or what we would say, he groaned. You see, Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit because he was burdened. Consider who these people are. These are the ones, if you went to Israel and were to pick out who was in search of God, who had the most knowledge of Scripture, who knew God the best, these are the people you would go to. These are the ones who are faithful. Their devotion is real. They're really committed to it. Others, when they're seeking God, come to these people. And when Jesus comes to these people, these should have been the ones who were easily persuaded to follow him. If it had been real. If it hadn't just been textbook religion. Just, you know, develop a message or a lesson and teach it. Research it. Answer the questions of those who have questions. But it was just a role. It was just a job. There was no real connection to God. They weren't really seeking God. They weren't really asking Jesus for a miracle or a sign so that they could trust him. They set it up as a test. They were tempting him. Just a test. But they were blinded by tradition and routine. I hope in the time that we have with, you know, Sunday morning, we have, of course, a much larger crowd. And in that number of people, I should hope that there would be no one who comes to the service, leaves feeling better about themselves without Jesus as their Savior. That they wouldn't leave comforted because they had been to the church house if they leave without a Savior, Jesus Christ. We should find no comfort in religion. No comfort in tradition and routine when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to God. Because religion won't get us to heaven. We must surrender ourselves to God and accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. He died on the cross. That perfect, sinless blood was shed because a blood sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God was required to redeem us, to wash away our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He rose on the third day to show that He has victory over the grave, to give us eternal life, that we would be resurrected and live with Him in eternity. And yet these Pharisees, they only had religion. They were devoted to teachers. And I think that's, you know, and I look at these Pharisees, I see Nicodemus sneak by, and he says, is it real? And Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus was converted. But as a group, you know, we looked this morning in 1 Samuel 17 at Goliath, and there was one man with one voice, and he stood up and he said, come and get me. If you can beat me, you can have us all. One man. And all those Philistines stood back there behind Goliath and they supported him and they said, yeah, if they can get him, then we better surrender. And then when he fell, what did they do? They scattered. And I have a feeling with these Pharisees that there was one person in charge, like you find in many organizations, and they're just propping him up and worshiping him. And whatever he says, that's the deal. Guys, we can't have a church like that. We can't have a church that worships the pastor and whatever the pastor wants is what happens. We can't do that. We need the Word of God. Jesus is the head of the church. The pastor's not the head of the church. We need to do what God wants. And the Pharisees, all these Pharisees, they answered to somebody, and that somebody wouldn't have anything to do with Jesus. Once his opinion was known that Jesus was a heretic and a blasphemer, they all said, yes, sir, that's going to be our line. That's what we're going to say. We're going to stand against him and we're going to question him and oppose him every chance we get. They were devoted to their teachers who led the rejection of Christ. But here's my thing. Jesus was burdened for them. He sighed deeply within himself. He groaned within himself because he cared about those souls. He wanted the Pharisees to be saved. He wanted the Pharisees. Can you imagine what would have happened if the Pharisees would have said, that's the Messiah? The Jews are still waiting for the Messiah, and he's already come. They're still watching for him to come, and they will wake up as a nation one day and realize that he has already come and they will be converted to Christ. But unfortunately, there'll be many Jews that pass from this life between now and then without a Savior. Jesus groaned deeply, sighed deeply in his spirit because he was frustrated, because he wanted them to be converted. He wanted them to accept Christ. He wanted them to go to heaven. He wanted them to know the peace that passes all understanding. But they wouldn't have it. In Acts chapter 21, we've just got a few verses to turn to here. Acts 21 and verse 13. Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem. We've talked about it recently. Our Sunday school last quarter was on the book of Acts. And Paul says in Acts 21 and verse 13, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? Why? Because the church was begging Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. If you go, you may be killed. If you go, you may be arrested. It's going to be tragic. God had sent a prophet named Agabus to warn Paul, don't go. But Paul says, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because Paul loved Jesus? No, because Paul was burdened for Jerusalem. Yes, he loved Jesus, but the reason he kept defying the church and the prophet and the Holy Spirit is because he had a burden for people. He was burdened for his nation. We've got to be burdened for our nation. We've got to want our people to be saved. We've got to be burdened for those in the streets and the countryside here. We want them to be saved. We want them to go to heaven. Have we grown? Have we sighed deeply within ourselves? Have we rejected those who oppose us in our faith and in our mission? Because we're so burdened for the lost. Paul was burdened for them. In fact, just a few pages over in chapter 26, in verse number 29, Paul was already at this point on trial. Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am. Paul said, I wish you were saved. I wish you knew my Jesus. I wish you knew my Heavenly Father. I wish you could sense the presence, feel the presence, the indwelling of God, His Holy Spirit. I wish you could read the Bible as I read the Bible. It is a love letter from God to me. It tells me how to live. It tells me how to think. It tells me how to live my life better and how to treat my wife better and how to treat my kids better and my neighbors. It tells me how to do everything better. I wish you knew that God was personal and that when He calls out to you by His Holy Spirit and says it's time for you to put your faith in me, that that is a personal call from the eternal God out of heaven to your heart saying, I want you. Come to me. Paul said, I wish not just you, but everybody was almost and altogether such as I am. I wish you knew my Jesus. I wish you had my peace. I wish you had my assurance of salvation. Can I tell you, my sins are washed away? You can bring up my past, but I don't live there anymore. You can tell me what I used to do, but Jesus saved me and changed me. He's regenerated me. I'm born again. It's a new life. Old things passed away. All things become new. I'm a new creature. I wish you knew that same experience of the assurance. When I die, what's going to happen? I'm going to take a breath here. My next breath will be there. You think so? No, I know so. I don't have any question of that. I don't wonder about that. I'm not challenged by that. I've seen so many people that took their breath here and they went to heaven. And there they are without any problems, burdens, no bills. Hallelujah. I mean, not you, Bill, but, you know, no creditors, right? None of that. None of that in heaven. No struggles, no hospitals, no funerals. I'm looking forward to heaven, aren't you? But I love my Jesus. He loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. And Jesus knows me, this I love. He knows you. He knows me. I wish you were not just you, but everybody. We're almost in all together, such as I am. Luke chapter 4, it's a text you're familiar with. Luke chapter 4, Jesus took the scriptures and he was reading in the temple in Nazareth, his hometown. In verse 18, Luke 4, 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I wish you had the Spirit of the Lord upon you. Because he has anointed me. I wish you knew what the anointing was like to have God on you. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. You know, I wish that we all had that understanding that God has called all of us to share the gospel. What is the gospel? Simply this: you're a sinner, so am I. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the gospel. Oh, you could take a lot of scriptures and throw it in there, but the point is this: I'm a sinner and God loves me anyway. And he sent Jesus to die for me. And if I accept Christ as my Savior, he washes all my sins away and includes me as his own. Eternal life. Jesus said, I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We call that ministry. To preach deliverance to the captives. That there is hope beyond our circumstances. Recovering of sight to the blind, that our vision has changed, our perception has changed. When we accept Christ, our outlook on the world, the way we view everything is different. And set at liberty them that are bruised. I simply want to share tonight that I'm burdened. I'm burdened for the lost. I wish they all knew Jesus. But it's not enough to be burdened. We've got to do something about it. I'm burdened because I want to be saved, so we must share the gospel. I'm burdened for the brokenhearted. I wish I could fix it. I can be a friend. I can pray. I can be supportive and encouraging. I'm burdened. I'm burdened for the poor. Brother Stegg is always faithful to remind us in prayer time. Pray for those who are less fortunate. Some of you saw the lightning that was popping out there on the way into church tonight. People live in that. The rain falls 110 degrees with the heat index. I think 115 in some places around here with the heat index today. And people live in that. I'm burdened for them. I want to reach them too. I want them to know Jesus. I'm burdened for those who are trapped in circumstances. That's part of what Jesus was talking about here. The prisoners. Deliverance to captives. They're trapped in circumstances. For some, it's a marriage. For some, it's a job. For some, it's a divorce. For some, it's bankruptcy. There's so many different circumstances, even addiction, alcohol, all these other things that people are just trapped in those situations. They can't see their way out. They're stuck. They're not really stuck, but they believe they're stuck. I've mentioned before the illustration of how they train an elephant. They'll take an elephant when he's a baby and they'll tie a rope to him and they'll tie him, you know, around his leg and then around a big boulder that he can't move. And he learns that he can't move that boulder. And he grows. And he's big. And he's so large that had he the desire and the expectation, he could move that boulder. But he's learned in his heart he can't move that boulder. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people is they have trained their mind to believe they are trapped. And there's no way out. And so they lack hope. They lack vision. They don't know how to get out of it. But if we, even God's people, could look to God and say, God, get me out of this. Show me a way. You know, the Bible says that God does not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able. But with every temptation, he provides a way of escape, a way out. He shows us there's another door. There's a way out. I think of Wendy Bagwell. Y'all know the story. He said, they're not a back door. He said, where do you think they want one? We're going to make one. There's a way out of our situation. There's a way out of our circumstances. Yes, it may take time. Yes, it may take work. But we've got to have the hope if we ever expect to escape it. I'm burdened for those people. I'm burdened for people with addiction. What a tragedy. I know that in this room I don't have to say it very loudly, but maybe there's somebody that'll pick up online and understand this. Don't ever touch that stuff because it could destroy your life. It only takes one time to ruin you. It'll never be the same again. And my heart breaks for those people who are caught in the cycle of addiction. My heart is burdened for people with false hopes. False hopes. I think of the gambler. And they just keep thinking that next hand. That next hand I'm going to win. That next pull on the slot machine I'm going to win. That next turn of the dial I'm going to win. If I just put a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. I'm almost there. There's a commercial. I think it was Jerry Van Dyke. Y'all remember that commercial? And he had the fishing rod and he was holding the dollar out there. He said, ooh, you almost had it. You know what's sad? There's still people that are hanging on looking for that little dollar that's at the end of that fishing pole, thinking I'm almost there. If I just put in a little bit more, I'll get there. But it's a false hope. A woman trying to change a man? Amen. False hope. But if I just marry him, he'll change. Wrong? Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's true. It gets worse. Men, same thing. Just change it. Well, you shouldn't have said that. You're in trouble now, sonny. Yes, right. Maybe we'll need a ride home now. But the truth is this, guys, is that we can't keep investing. Oh, if I just work. No. No, we don't marry people to change them. Every marriage I've ever witnessed that got married so they could change the other person didn't work out. Well, if we just had children, it'd change. No, it will, but it's not going to fix it. If I just had that, if I just had that, if I just had, that's false hope. Guys, the problem's not that if I just left this job and got that job. Now, sometimes that's the case, but if you're jumping from job to job to job to job, it's not the job that's the problem. It's on the inside. Problems in here and problems in here. And I'm burdened for people with false hopes, and I'm burdened for people who are abused. We've got a crisis in our country. People are angry and hateful and mean and evil. And I'm burdened for them. I know you are too. I'm burdened for people that are suffering. I'm burdened for people that are lonely. Can I tell you this? You know, we've got enough people in our church that are suffering from loneliness. If y'all will get together, you won't be lonely anymore. And I don't mean dating. I mean just hanging out. Because we don't have to be lonely. But we need friends. We need people to talk to and people that will listen to us and people we can listen to and people we can learn about. I'm burdened for children. I'm reminded of the king in the Old Testament. And God said, I'm going to judge the nation, but not in your time. And the king said, well, if it's not in my time, ain't no problem. His kids, his grandkids would pay the price. But he said, if it's not, I don't have to pay the price, who cares? And we're living in a culture right now that's living that way. And the parents don't care what the next generation. The problem, we read it this morning. God said, teach your children. The problem is we think the schools can fix it all. And God bless the teachers. They got a job I don't want. But they can't parent them. They're there to teach them. And I know they love them and they parent as good as they can for those 6 or 7 hours a day. Spend more time with our children a lot of times than we do. Waking hours. But it's our job to teach them. I want them all to have Jesus. I want them all to have a church. I think of the fella I went to and tried to reach him. He wouldn't be saved, didn't want to go to church, didn't really. He was nice, he was cordial and polite, but he didn't really have a need for church. Didn't need a preacher. Until the doctor said, you've got stage 4 cancer. Then he needed a preacher. And I'm glad that we had that time together. But you know what he never had? He never had a church. I'm glad he had Jesus and I'm glad he had a preacher, but he never had the love of a church. He missed out on that. The friendships, the joy. I wish everybody had what we have. The peace that passes all understanding. We've got to be burdened. As God's people, as God's church, we've got to be burdened. And I wonder, do we need to do more? But that's really not the question. The question is, what do we need to do? I don't want to do more. I want to be effective. I'm all the time searching and praying and saying, God, is there something we need to change? We've got a generation of people that have got to be reached. We've got to reach the children. We've got to reach these teenagers before they get out of high school. We've got to reach the college kids before they escape into the real world. But how? What needs to change? What do I need to do differently? And if we've got to change our methods, let's do it. But I am 100% sure that they all need Jesus and they all need a church. I'm burdened for them. And even those in the church, there are some who meet some of these criteria here. And they've got Jesus and they've got a church. I want you to know I'm burdened for you. I love you and it matters. And I want to do whatever I can do to help you. Would you stand? Father, we love Jesus. We're thankful for the opportunity to be here in your house again tonight. I know the message was a bit different tonight. But I pray that you'll use it in our lives. If we could have the clarity from you of what to do, I commit that I will do it. Each opportunity we have to make a difference with the gospel, with the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, use us. Use us. Dismiss us with your grace. Forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.